Depending on conditions in occupied North America, the Angra Indian may or may not employ harsh language.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
So in the smoke, and in the chaos, with gunfire going all around them, Louis Gohmert can't help but wonder. He can't help but wonder, with all those people in the theater, was there nobody that's carrying a gun that could have stopped this guy? That's how sick these people are. That is how evil these people are. Louis Gohmert thinks that the solution to chaos is to add more chaos. Louis Gohmert thinks that the solution to gunfire is to add more gunfire. And here, understand, they're gonna get their way. Somewhere out there, probably by a factor of a million, are people who are American citizens who henceforward, upon going to the movie theater, are going to make sure that they're locked and loaded and have one in the chamber. There are states like Tennessee and Ohio where they're already allowed to carry loaded firearms into bars and sit there and get drunker than Adam's off ox until their take offense gene kicks in and then bang! Yeah, Betsy, I know. We have a country that is more obsessed with warehousing poor people who have run afoul of pissant little laws, that is more concerned with equating being able to go to the doctor with socialism, more concerned with the birth certificate of a president who happens to have been born with the accident, because none of us are responsible for the nature or circumstances of our own birth, who happens to have been born with skin darker than a paper bag. They are more concerned with all of these things than with whether three-year-olds get to be four. Or whether three-year-olds who toddled into a movie theater get to toddle back out. Their concern, their fascination, their weird, sick obsession is with their guns. And they want to take them around with them as if they were some sort of security blanket. They're whoobies. The only problem is, these dangerous freaks have whoobies that carry 17 rounds of ammunition. But God Almighty, can you imagine what the for-profit media would be doing right now if this guy's name had been Abdul or Rahman, Aziz, Samir? Can you imagine? We'd be in full damn lockdown.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land!
You guys have no jurisdiction here.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart Aboriginal.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
The message is that there are known knowns. There are things we know that we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things that we now know we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns. There are things we do not know we don't know. And each year we discover a few more of those unknown unknowns.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
Internet radio for smart Aboriginals.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Salutation and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. I'm your host, Angry Indian. Editor-in-Chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the Fourth World from aboriginalpress.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. And you have tuned in to Indigenous news, thought, and analyses concerning the issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, racist, neoclassist, neocolonialist, neoliberal, neo-fascist, and neo-misogynist control. I wish to welcome you all to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along, shout out to the gods and earths, and peace to the original family at this time of strife and struggle. Okay, so, you know, I'm just going to jump right into it, because there's really no point in beating around the mulberry bush, is there? What happened in Aurora is shocking, it's tragic, it's violent, it's terrible, but let's just face facts. You know, it is what it is, right? You know, this is what the white community said. Now, we have a report released by the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement somewhere on the East Coast. I believe it's New York City. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, they talk about 120 black people. If they had added Native Americans, if they had added our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters south of the Rio Grande, you know, the toll, Southeast Asian brothers and sisters, the toll would have been higher. But they were looking at African hyphenated American deaths, extrajudicial killings by law enforcement, private peace officers, because that's really what law enforcement is supposed to be. They're supposed to keep the peace. Isn't that what they're supposed to do? And then you got stand your ground or castle laws, you know, like George, God told me to do in Trayvon Martin Zimmerman. You know, cats like that. You know, these sorts of incidences. And, you know, 120 black men and women. I prefer African. But if you want to get into the Europocentric way of looking at things in North America, we'll say black, right? Because it's always black and white and never the gray shall matter. So, you know, what it comes down to is you had another white guy go berserk in the United States. He dyes his hair red like the Joker. He sets up his crib so that he can damage all the authorities when they come to investigate his lunatune, you know, adventure. And then, you know, we're just supposed to move on. We're just supposed to move on and say, hey, you know, guns don't kill people. People kill people, right? Isn't that the line of the NRA, huh? Isn't that what the, you know, what is his name here? You know, I don't even want to remember Ted Nugent, you know, Mr. Hoochie Coo, Mr. Draft Dodger, Yeah, I'm going to say that again for you vets who want to ride your Harleys, you know, up and down the road here and intimidate everybody, waving your flags in everybody's faces with your NRA stickers. You know, Ted Nugent. You know, that cat you like so much? Yeah, he's a goddamn draft dodger. Just like, you know, Bush the Second. See, Bush the First went and served. Bush the Second did everything he could not to serve. But he and Dick Cheney, they'll send, you know, your young person to the meat grinder. But you notice their daughters won't go. And see, what kills me about, you know, this is the hypocrisy that I'm talking about. You know, I'm going to say this. And, you know, I'm going to say this. And, you know, to hell with it. Because this is not just how I feel. This is the logic of it. I can't see any other way. I cannot see any other way to, you know, objectively analyze this and say anything else. I cannot be upset about this. I can't care. I can't care. We're, you know, there's black people being shot all the time. And then we have what just happened in Anaheim, California. Now, that's one thing. You know, we tell you all the time, do not run, elders. We tell you all the time, do not run from the police, you young brothers. Do not run from the police. You cannot do what white guys do. You cannot challenge them. You can't talk about your constitutional rights. You can't tell them what the law is. You cannot do what they do. You have to be polite. You have to kiss their asses. You have to put up with whatever inhumanity and degradation that they're going to put you through. And you pray to whatever ancestors or deities that you have faith in that you will get home in one piece. And then you have to sit with your family and decide whether or not it's worth it to file a case against them, because you will then have to move, because your life will be hell from then on. This is what it is to be black in America. To where, again, on the East Coast, I mean, they've been doing this in Philly for, you know, off and on, unofficially for a while, but I suppose in New York City, this is official. That the police patrol the buildings over there, the public housing, where most Africans live, right? Well, you can be taking out your rubbish to the compactor, and, you know, if you don't have your ID on you, because you have your house slippers on and, you know, maybe your bathrobe, well, you can be detained. You think I'm joking about that? Review the news sites from the East Coast. See what I'm talking about. People can't even take out their rubbish without being stopped and accosted in their building by uniformed police officers. Safe hallways, some kind of propagandistic nonsense, some newspeak that they call it. It's in the paper, New York Times. Oh, that's right. Never mind. What am I saying? You have to pay for the New York Times now, right? Well, I mean, they got other newspapers. They're online. But you have to look. You know, I mean, you have to go out there and look. And see, and this is, again, what is getting me. Because here we have the Malcolm X grassroots movement on their own dime. Instead of trying to just go out there and shout and hold your placard and hope for justice that you know you're not going to get, they decided to go ahead and do a report like every other ethnic group in the world does. Now, I hope you heard our last show with Brother Ashad Muhammad. He is the assistant editor to the Final Call newspaper, which is the organ of the Nation of Islam. Now, I've said this before. I say it again just to be clear, because, you know, people asking me all kinds of different questions, you know, and making assumptions. I'm not a Muslim, nor am I a Muslim son. I am not a member of the Nation of Islam. You understand? I am a civilized, educated, original person. You know, and if we want to get into the Asiatic black man hypothesis, we can do that too. Because as far as I'm concerned, the Human Genome Project pretty much answered all of those questions. So, you know, if you want to debate any further about that, really, you're invited to come on, or, you know, hey, tell me what you think. Tell me what you feel. You're also invited to come on the show and argue your points. Aboriginal Radio at lavavit.com. You know, email us your suggestions. Our email box is open here. So, you know, we can talk about it. But for those that are in doubt, who, you know, for some reason have some misapprehension, you know, and don't understand atheism when they hear it, because they don't know what atheism is. They don't know what the term means. Agnostic, they don't know what the term means. These are things that they've heard. They don't understand what they mean.
You know, same thing with communism. You know, there's a whole lot of talk, right? You know, who the hell in the United States actually knows what the hell they're talking about in terms of Marxist economics, Marxist social theory? You know, how many people have read Capital 1, 2, or 3? The Address to the Working Man's Association. I mean, even the manifesto. You can read the manifesto over lunch. You know, all you conservative, numbskulls who want to talk about things of which you don't understand, that you can't fathom. You may blanket, knee-jerk and reactionary assumptions over something that you heard, but you've never actually studied yourself. Same questions with Islam. You don't have any Christians. And again, yes, for those of you who have been following us for a long time, yes, I am a reverend. That's true. Within the Gullah tradition, I am a root man. That is true. But I am also ordained as a Buddhist Kadia. And even then, I don't even take it seriously anyway, because Buddhism isn't a religion. You know, it's an honorific title, really. You know, meaning that I can go through all the sacerdotal ceremonies with you and what have you. You know, baptized Catholic, raised Catholic. You know, I find no real reason for anybody to look at any of these organized religions. And let's talk about religion as opposed to spirituality. And what does this have to do with what happened in Aurora? I'm gonna tell you exactly what it has to do with it. Because see, with religion, people forget, you know, in the Latin term that, you know, that originates from, it means to tie back. It means to hold back. It means to say, okay, well, these are a set of rules and a set of prescriptions that one is supposed to live by in order for one to live a quote-unquote good life, a quote-unquote proper life. You know, now, if you can look at the Christian Bible, which, of course, is, you know, made up of two books, right? The New Testament, that all the evangelical clusterfucks like to jump up around, and then you have what they like to call the Old Testament, which is really the Jewish Bible, right? Or the Torah. Now, you know, just to, you know, screw up everybody here that is a Christian and doesn't know anything at all about Islam, whenever you say Judeo-Christian, you really need to say Judeo-Christian-Islamic, because it is all part of this nonsense. And again, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, you have all of this stuff. You have this religion. You have this thing that ties you back and tells you exactly how you're supposed to live, that puts restrictions on you. But none of you seem to be able to follow the restrictions. Now, again, for the Christians, they know absolutely nothing about Islam, and I'm not an expert at all, but, you know, it was a Christian or angel, Judaic angel, because it all comes from Judaism, doesn't it? That's the root of all this madness, isn't it? I mean, you know how much misogyny, how much genocide, how much racism, how much tribalism, how much violence, how much homophobia, you know, is in that book, how much of a justification for just about anything you want to do, colonialism, imperialism, mass slaughter, genocide, you know, it's totally okay. Because, you know, when the Hebrews left Egypt, and I'm saying left because it turns out that historically speaking, they're starting to realize now, at least the European scholars are starting to realize, Hebrews or Jews, really, probably, most likely, they were an underclass in Egypt because they had, you know, but they had no standing army. They were an underclass, but they were not slaves. Now, they were treated bad, but they were not slaves, because in order for them, yeah, and one of the ideas behind this is one of the, you know, in order for them to be able to survive 40 years in the wilderness, quote unquote, right? They had to have some skills. No people just, you know, who's been totally enslaved is somehow free and then they're able to manage and get from one place to another like that, let alone build anything. You know, anyone that can look at the African community in the United States can see that. Anyone that can look at the Native community anywhere in North America can see that. When you're finally let go, when you're supposedly free, you can't do anything because you don't know how to do anything. You were never allowed to do anything. So what does any of this have to do with Aurora? Well, one of the things that the right, you know, the, let's just call them what they are. The neo-Confederates, some of them are just flat out neo-Nazis, but, you know, the neo-Confederates, let's just call them what they are. James Carville said this some time back. It's the truth. Let's just call them what they are. When he said this, initially he was referring to Sarah Palin, who is a neo-Confederate. Her and her husband have attended neo-Confederate conferences in the South, separatist meetings. I can't remember his name right now, but one of her political mentors up there in Alaska totally wanted to separate from the United States. But yet she not only you know, wanted to be governor, and we saw what happened with that. She couldn't handle it, and she quit, and then have the nerve to talk about running for vice president, you know, then talking about running for president. I mean, how? She couldn't handle being governor. You already have somebody who was a governor and didn't do a very good job, and then, you know, now he wants to run for president. You're supposed to like him and vote for him because he's a rich guy. You know, I mean, is he a racist? He's using racism. So what does that make him? You know, he went to the NAACP basically to score points with the rabbit right here. He didn't go there to try to appease the voters there. He didn't go there to try to ask them to hear what they had to say. He went there to, you know, tell them, well, I'm the new master in town, and this is what's going to happen, and I'm better than the master you got right now. Because that's what it is. You know, I mean, you know, Barack Obama comes from slaveholding family. That's not a diss. That's a fact. That's what it is. He shrugs about it. He says, well, you know, that's American history. Well, you know, doesn't mean anything to him. You know, he went to Harvard, right? You know, I mean, he grew up in Hawaii, you know, to a large extent. He's traveled the world. You know, I mean, he's had, I'm not going to say he's had it easy, but he's had advantages, and he's had a social environment that helped him succeed. Whereas the rest of us had to dodge drug dealers, drug addicts, you know, try to, you know, weave in and out of the prostitutes that are trying to get that last $5 on your way to school in the morning. So, you know, when he didn't have to deal with any of that, which I'm not holding that against him, but, you know, there's no consideration, no compassion, and no sense of let me do something for those that still have to cope with that. And if you think I'm joking, I can point to you neighborhoods in Philly, man. You know, Gary, Indiana, Miami, South Central, L.A., you know, I mean, what, Seattle, Washington. I mean, I can show you. And then I can show you white people doing the same thing, living exactly the same way in Iowa, in Sioux City. Natives, all I got to do is just, you know, put my hand over my eyes, you know, spin around three times and point in any direction. I can show you natives all over the place. Just living terribly, living badly. You've been to Vancouver, BC lately? Right before you get to Chinatown, you're walking down Granville. Do you see how many natives are standing out there waiting for methadone? You know, it's like, don't, you know, really want to get into this discussion? So, I'm sorry. I can't care. I can't care. You know, you have the Supreme Court here that says that it's a violation of the rights of young people to withhold violent video games from them. And we're living in a culture of drones, which is basically video game playing for a lot of these, you know, acne-faced young people that they got down there and wherever these centers are in North America, who are just, you know, from a distance doing massive damage. To them, they don't have any connection to these people. They don't even see them. They're not maybe like, say, Howard Zinn, who when he was part of, I want to say Dresden, but I'm not exactly sure. I'm sure somebody will correct me. You know, Aboriginal Radio at lavavit.com. But, you know, when he was doing bombing runs, doing World War II, he's like, you know, you don't see these people. You don't see what you do. You know, you just see whether or not it fell where it was supposed to fall, where it was estimated to fall. You think about it later. Look at the documentary Hearts and Minds. I can't remember the name of the director, but check that out. Where you see the American pilots who say they enjoy their jobs. And then you see other American pilots who can't even look at their own children in the eye when they got back, because they start to realize how much damage they were doing. Dropping napalm on villages. And then we got My Lai, and let's not talk about that, right? Let's not talk about, what was it, Lieutenant Kelly? Was he a lieutenant? Do we want to talk about that? No, you know, I mean, nobody wants to discuss that and the relation of all of this, you know, and it's like, what does religion have to do with? Well, they're saying that this cat, I mean, you know, the rabbit right here, the fascist, the neo-confederates are saying that this man is an atheist. We don't know anything about him yet, other than he's a Looney Tunes, that he's a maniac, that he's a white guy who was buying all kinds of weaponry online, and nobody seemed to care. But at the same, hey, on the other hand, we got to worry about the left-wing activists, don't we? We have to worry about the Occupy movement, which we all know really isn't going anywhere any goddamn way. But, you know, just for what it stands for. You know, these activists have been hassled. People are being preemptively, you know, taken into custody and detained. You know, files and profiles are being built on people simply for saying they don't want to be, you know, Exodus fodder, you know, cannon fodder, excuse me, for the 1% here. You know, for the people like Mitt Romney and by extension Barack Obama. The only thing about him is he's just an administrator. He's just a facilitator. That's all he does. The same thing with W. He was just a facilitator. He admitted it himself that Cheney was running the country for at least the first year and a half. And he's still coming into the White House. He's still coming into government offices and advising them. Richard Cheney, he is out of government. What is he doing? What is he, elder statesman now? Is he taking the space that Richard M. Nixon used to hold? Where, you know, Clinton and Jimmy Carter and all these cats would have him up there to tell him what he should do, because this is the man, the conservative, that opened up China, right? He was able to sell Pepsi. Nixon got Pepsi to go into China with the help of PepsiCo and the Chamber of Commerce, huh? Huh? Yeah. So what does this have to do with Aurora? I know I'm going on tangents, but roll with me here, because all of this is connected. The right wing is saying that this guy was an atheist. They're saying that he was an Obama supporter. They're just talking out of their keister, because they know absolutely nothing. 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 He's a Meshuggah bastard who nobody knows yet why he snapped. It turns out this freakazoid was going for a PhD. He was a PhD graduate student, I understand. Right? Which, you know, we can always, you know, genius is like, what, two steps away from insanity. So, you know, is that what it is with him? We don't know. But I know one thing, they're not calling him a terrorist, are they? Just like that Jared Lee Loughner who did all that damage down there in Arizona. They're not calling him a terrorist, are they? They really didn't even want to call Timothy McVeigh a terrorist. And there's still people who make the argument that you shouldn't do that. That we should understand where he came from. That we should understand what went on with Jared Lee Loughner. You know, that he couldn't have possibly been sane. They're saying the same thing about Anders Breivik in Norway. But see, the difference, you know, between what happened in Aurora and what, you know, Anders Breivik did is now they're both insane. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, that didn't mean that they weren't rational. You know, in the terms of Anders Breivik, he called himself making a political move. In the case of this Holmes fellow, you know, I don't know what the hell is going on with him. He dyed his hair red as a character in the film. Basically, he was trying to be the Joker. He wanted to experience what is going on in these goddamn video games. You know, you're being too critical. What's wrong with video games? Well, I don't play video games. I'm going to say that right now. So for all the people who listen to this who are gamers, you're right. I don't understand you because, you know, as an adult, I can't see sitting around playing computer games all day. You know, there's a chess game that I play occasionally, but, you know, that's it. You know, it's like, you know, you gamers with the, you know, energy drinks and the fast food and the cats who are expiring in their chairs because they can't get up to go to the bathroom because they don't want to lose their score. See, no, you're right. You're goddamn right. I cannot relate to you. You're right. I cannot relate to you. So what I'm about to say is completely prejudiced. But, you know, I'm not blaming that game and I'm not even blaming guns per se. But you have a culture here that these games represent. The same thing with hip-hop. And then you notice that hip-hop has just amalgamated with all of the things that they used to laugh at, right? That they used to typify as white guy stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Classic cars. Guns even. I mean, you know, maybe I'm just too old. But I don't remember, you know, growing up and we were interested in that kind of thing. You know, people boxed. Or they did judo or something. You know, it's like, you know, these young cats with these firearms and, you know, looking at them on the bus, you know, reading gun magazines and what have you. You know, that bothers me. Because it's all part of this culture. And don't tell me that hip-hop can take no responsibility for it. Because that is where it's coming from. And yes, we can sit here and talk about the artist. And, well, actually, we can sit here and talk about the industry itself. I mean, look, okay, I'm going to say this because this is exactly how I see it. You look at what happened in Aurora, and now, you know, you got all kinds of nonsense from the talk radio circuit when they're not talking about atheism or trying to link him somehow to the Democratic Party or to socialism or to communism or what have you. Well, you know, anything that they can deem as bad. I mean, if they can say that he's gay, they'll do that too. All right. You know, I mean, all of that. Looking at all of this, And looking at the gun culture and looking at, you know, hip-hop, and I'm only using hip-hop as an example. I know you're picking on hip-hop all the time. Look, John Hall in San Francisco, I know you don't like my opinion on this. And I'm sorry, my brother, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, the industry, we know this by now. If you do any goddamn research on this, you know that these artists are told. They are told by these producers. They are told by these record company executives. They are told that if they do not toe the line and have bitches and hoes and nigga this and nigga that and drug deal this and count your, you know, count your stacks, count your ones, your twos, all that, you know, if you don't put that in the music, if there's not, if you don't have that going on, we don't have a contract. Matter of fact, you don't have a career. In fact, we'll sue you for breach of contract. Now, like I said, I don't know anybody important, but I know people who are in the industry, and they've been in the rooms when these things have happened. So, you know, I mean, when you look at Death Row and what happened to Death Row, and you don't have to believe me, you can look at the damn documentary, Welcome to Death Row, and you can see what the hell they said. You know, I mean, Suge got his backing from who he got his backing from. Okay, fine. But the atmosphere that was allowed to develop in what should have been a business, you got creativity, you know, you're damn right. And they need, you know, an artist, they need to have their freedom. You know, I mean, look at, I'm still crying over what happened to the Barnes Foundation, you know, back in Pennsylvania, because it's just like, you know, here you have real art, and then, you know, you get some capitalist morons, and, you know, and I hate to say it, but, you know, they were family. They were family. They were family. You know, I mean, here you get black politicians that get, yeah, and black administrators. You know, I can't remember his name now, the cat that took over the Barnes Foundation, you know, and the first thing he does is violate the entire charter of what the man set up for what was his. He built that with his own money for a love of the arts for everybody. And then, you know, here they come in. I same thing. I can't even remember the mayor right now, man, you know, but they just came in. And did, you know, what the white guys, I guess, said, we're not going to be the face of this. Same thing we see with Obama, right? And then they just ripped up this treasure for the people of that state and for the, you know, for the people of Philly. And, you know, this totally ruined it, man. And, you know, it's gone. It's gone. Yes, I'm going on a tangent. Yeah, I know. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But see, this is all the stuff that goes to my mind. You know, I'm looking at another, you know, we had Columbine, and that didn't seem to do anything. You know, same thing with that. They put it on Marilyn Manson. Marilyn Manson didn't have a goddamn thing to do with what happened at Columbine. Nothing. You know, that's like saying, as Michael Moore's film, you know, they went bowling too. So what the hell? You know, and yes, I hate guns. I can't stand them. But, you know, the thing is, guns aren't the actual, you know, the actual device itself. It's a problem. All it is about is death, you know, whether it's hunting or whatever, it ends life, you know, that's all firearms are about, nuclear weapon, you know, all of this stuff is just about death, man, landmines, you know, it's all about death and destruction and the cessation of life. And, you know, we can blame guns to a large degree, but I'm talking about the culture, and where I'm going back to rap with this, sorry for the tangent, but where I'm going back to rap with this, is that you can say what you want, but you know, you can look at any of these album covers. You can look at the posturing and photographs. Everybody wants to be a thug. Everybody wants to be tough. I mean, what is one of the main things about the whole hip hop bit when you look at media? Because that seems to be one of the major things in media is just entertainment, right? In black media. And, you know, I know we're supposed to do that on another show and we got sidetracked, but I got the Nielsen numbers. And if you go by what they say, which is what everybody goes by, right? Black folks in the United States don't have a clue to what's going on because all they look at is entertainment and sports media. And when you do look at news media, it's not even news. You're generally looking at Fox, mostly because you like to hear all of the trash that they're talking about because it's exciting. And it relates to the type of media that I'm talking about, and you don't understand what the hell is going on. You know, we got a report here for the Malcolm X grassroots movement about 120 black people being extrajudicially removed from this earth, forced to transition by pure racism, And how much of the black media is paying attention to this? I mean, we knew that the mainstream media was going to pay attention to this, but how much of the black media has paid attention to this? That should be the number one thing we're talking about. Not Frank Ocean. He came out already, you know, just like Don Lemon. You know, they came out, it's done, let's move on. Because that's not number one to our existence and survival on this earth. You know, as my guest said, you know, Brother Ashad Muhammad, the assistant editor, you know, that we are not paying attention to what the hell is important. You know, it's like instead of worrying about beef and who's in scandal, we need to be understanding why is it that you can't take out your rubbish without being hassled in some parts of this country? Why are we going through roadblocks? See, the white people only complain when they go through roadblocks. You've been going through checkpoints for how long in this country? You know, everything that the white people complain about, you know, they have to be searched up and down and strip searched and what have you. That's been going on with us. They'll strip a black man, a native, or a Mexican, or a Puerto Rican in the street in a second. And they've been doing this. You know, white people do. They stand there and they watch, or they just keep walking. They don't say anything. They don't say anything. And a lot of us don't say anything either because, you know, they figure, well, you know, I got a good job and I'm paying bills and, you know, maybe I even got a mortgage. So, you know, I'm a property owner and I got a car note and I'm paying off this iPhone and I'm paying for $250 sneakers. But, you know, I have to keep my kids looking fly when they go to school because that reflects on me. You know, it's like, you know, that's where all that is going. You know, and that's why I don't want to hear from, you know, so many of you, you know, wearing your camouflage and stomping around, you know, white boy this, white boy that, but then you're wearing diamonds. Where are the diamonds coming from? South Africa. Who controls the diamonds in South Africa? De Beers. Who controls De Beers? The Oppenheimer family. Who are they in business with? Israel. And I asked this one. I said, you know, you hear you talking about the Illuminati and, you know, this one, you know, one of these fools, you know, one told me about the protocols of the Elders of Zion. And I know where he goes to get all his gold jewelry and what have you repaired. They're all Orthodox Hasidim behind the counter. He's a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite. And we're being hypocritical if we're not going to say that, you know, there are elements in rap music, whether we want to blame the executives, which I do, the producers, which I do, or the artists, which I do. I do. I connect all of this because you're part and parcel of this problem. And you don't want to accept responsibility for it. You know, I'm listening to young women walk down the street calling these other bitches. I'm like, wait a minute. White guys, nigga this, nigga that. I said, what the hell is going on here? And then we get black people to go on TV and say that is okay. And then we wonder why 120 extrajudicial killings of black people. And, we're just in the middle of 2012. And while we're ignoring how black men are being, you know, just, well, and women are being wiped out here, where's the focus of the country right now? It's on Aurora, Colorado. And like I said, it's sad. And yes, there were non-white people killed there too. But you know what? You know what? While I feel bad about all that, I mean, don't take me out of context and try to say that I'm not, you know, not human about this and I don't care. It's just, I can't care. You know, when black people get killed out here, like that, you know, Mexican brother who was, you know, shot in the back twice and then shot in the back of the head here in Anaheim, California. And then they shoot rubber bullets into a crowd and tear gas into a crowd of people who are holding their children. And then an attack dog is set on the man who's trying to protect his infant. No, see, I don't see anybody getting upset about that. I don't see any marches. I don't hear about Barack Obama calling the family of any of these young people. Of any of these people, did he call a family of Remali Graham? Did he call a family of Kenneth Chamberlain? How about Sean Bell's widow? Yeah, I know they were getting married that morning, but you know what? As far as I'm concerned, they were together. They were a family. That's his widow. Because I get tired of the press when, you know, black men get killed out here by the police, when they run into the police, that they don't identify the woman that he was living with and had children with as his wife, because that's exactly what it is. They had a family. Maybe they didn't do it the way the state wants you to do it, but don't denigrate these families any longer. Any reporters that are listening to this, do not denigrate these families. These women are widows. These women are widows. And I'm really sick of these sisters, you know, having their honor stripped from them. And again, where's the black press when it comes to things like this? You know, why does it always have to be an activist that's doing something like this? Yeah, you know, it's like, where are you? Where are you? You know, where's the white community? You know, don't tell me, you know, that this is a big shock and you guys couldn't see this coming. You don't understand how this could happen in rural Colorado. Well, hell, how the hell can you have 2012? We got a black president and you can have 120 black people killed. And nobody says anything, especially the African leadership here. They say nothing. And Alan West, the Republican in Florida, says nothing. Herman Cain, the Republican, says nothing. J.C. Watts, the Republican, says nothing. Clarence Page, the Republican, says nothing, right? That's why I'm reluctant to say, well, you know, you got to blame hip-hop, because it really isn't that per se. It's what we're dealing with. It's the entire milieu of what we're dealing with. So, you know, I know somebody's going to take me completely out of context. And, oh, the angry Indian says something about rap again. Oh, he's always coming down on rap. Well, hey, man, you know, you tell me, what are they doing? Where's Jay-Z when 120 black men are being killed? The grassroots Malcolm X movement puts out a report and none of them are saying anything about it. I'm not picking on Jay-Z. It's just Jay-Z is the one that everybody wants to talk about all the time. It's Jay-Z and Beyonce. Beyonce and Jay-Z. Okay, fine. What are they doing? I mean, every time I see her, her hair's a little lighter, her skin's a little lighter. Jay-Z, he's moving up in the business world. What are they doing for you? I'm not saying don't like them, not to admire them, but where does your life begin? You dig what I'm saying? Where does your life begin? This hip-hop universe. There are people out here with Kanye tattoos. There's a cat online that's got a Wu-Tang tattoo on his face. Come on, brothers and sisters, please, 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 God damn it. Yeah, it's like you're looking at what's happening in rural Colorado, and we are all black people grieving for them. And I'm not telling you not to have feelings about this, but I'm saying, do you care so much about somebody else that you don't give a damn about your own family being, you know, the same thing is going on and nobody's saying anything? If anything, this was a random event, which you was systematic. Let's get real. And then right after that, that one brother was shot in Anaheim. There was another Mexican shot later that evening. When are you going to look at what the hell is happening to you? And this is a shout out to my Mexican brothers and sisters, my Puerto Ricano brothers and sisters, Dominican Republica. Yo, hey. You cats, man, you know, stop this beef against each other. Stop this North-South Mexican thing. And, you know, this whole black Latino thing. You know, you guys have to knock it off because things are completely out of hand. You're being served up to the capitalist machine on a platter. And while everybody's so busy trying to live for today, you better think about what the hell is happening tomorrow. This is the Angry Indian, and you are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
I don't understand. I was like sitting there thinking, you're talking about what? What the fuck? Is it just the, what was that movie, Idiocracy? Is that what's going on here? Because I was gobsmacked at the comments from Obama. It's like, dude, we need a little bit more. A little bit more than I'm talking about that your daughters go to the movies and blah, blah, blah. That shit was weak and...
Well, but is it? But I saw...
Well, I suppose so. But, I mean, it didn't do nothing for me. I was just like, well, no. Can you say the word guns at all? No. That would be a no. And, you know, people wringing their hands. I'm like, just a few minutes ago, we had a sitting congresswoman got her half her head blown off and was cricket. So why the fuck is anything going to happen with this? You know, did we forget that they shot up her and her entourage and we got crickets and hand wringing from the White House and not a damn thing? They can't even muster enough to ban automatic weapons. This happens one after another. We get people talking about their kids and we feel for you and daughters, sons, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, no.
It's just a very bloody roulette table. And as long, you know, we feel, okay, but I don't have to step up and take the dice in my hand.
No, listen, that ain't about none of that. I don't, you know, let's have a discussion about the power of the NRA and how that special interest group is fucking up shit in this country nonstop with its promotion of the small arms dealers, the other manufacturers, the scaring people to death into buying more guns, the idiots coming out and saying, oh, someone in the theater had a gun, it wouldn't have happened. I'm just like, OMG, okay? And can we now acknowledge that the NRA will turn this mass death into another campaign for selling their guns? I mean, that's the thing. It's just any event that can be used to their advantage. Ridiculous. And once again, also, can we, all of a sudden it's not, that to me, you got some fool lobbing weapons grade tear gas and shooting up a place. That's not terrorism. What the fuck is it?
Right.
And, I guess the skin wasn't dark enough.
There, that's the, yes.
To be terrible, because if that, no, I don't even mean Arab. If he had been black, Mexican, Asian, it would have been terror. And, as someone tweeted and said, what is wrong with white people? I was like, and where do we start? I'm sorry. I'm just like, I'm so over it. It's like, what in the fuck? You know, I can't deal with these freaks, you know, and their issues being played out on poor people trying to watch a goddamn movie.
Yeah, exactly. And
I mean, it just gets me so angry. It's like, you know, we got this huge police state apparatus, you know, in full effect, yet we gotta placate and patronize these freaked out white men 24/7 when they're like destroying shit nonstop. I don't know. I'm so over it. You know what? And we got President Obama who can't, you know, formulate a response that has any teeth for any goddamn incident. So I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry.
No. You owe me no apology. By the way, you got a couple of hallelujahs out there. John said to me, Obama's words seem sad and empathetic, but I agree. I agree with Sandra and Bloomberg. Let's get beyond sad and into some fixes.
Don't let the colonial occupation blues get you down. Listen to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The podcast for Intelligent Aboriginals.
Radio Insurgente, la voz de los sin voz.
Vamos, 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 vamos adelante, para que salgamos en la lucha avante, porque nuestra patria grita y necesita de todo el esfuerzo de los zapatistas.
Transmitiendo desde algún lugar de las montañas del sureste mexicano, en la frecuencia 99.7 en FM.
This is Noam Chomsky. Strong evidence suggests that the Bush administration launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge and tortured, targeted civilians and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
I'm going to stand until I can't stand no more, if I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of Color Organize features intersections of race, politics, feminism, movement, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganize.com. Follow us on Twitter at POC Organize and Facebook. Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganized. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
Hey, yo, what's up, y'all? This is DJ Spooky, that Subliminal Kid, giving y'all a wild style shout out. You're rolling with a podcast that's licensed under the Creative Commons license. So I just want to say, check it, download it, remix it, transform it. This is all about the wild style remix. So once again, Creative Commons, y'all, DJ Spooky, wild styles in your area, subliminal minded.
Go ahead, ready?
I'm Forrest Whitaker for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and this is my daughter, True.
Hi.
Life is full of choices. And many years ago, I chose to become a vegetarian. And it's one of the best choices I've ever made. And since True's dad was a vegetarian, she decided to be vegetarian too. You may decide to go vegetarian for better health, for a better environment, or you could be like True and I and just decide you don't want to eat meat anymore.
I love animals and I love being a vegetarian.
I'm Forrest Whitaker.
And I'm True Whitaker.
And we're vegetarians.
For more information, visit PETA.org.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
We are the Ku Klux Klan. We hate niggers. We hate Jews. We hate faggots. And we hate specs. We people need to get off your ass and wake up. This is America.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
Look, this is one of the areas where Alan and I disagree, and Alan published the book, and he had a chapter in the book, O.J.'s Innocent.
Mrs. Reagan is my publisher, and she is yours.
But you know the truth?
Yes, I do, Sean, but I'm going to tell you this right now. Sean, I'm going to tell you this right now. I dealt with people like this for 20 years. They will get up every day, they will kill somebody and go have some chicken at KFC. You will catch them eating chicken and drinking a beer. After they just murdered three people. Sean, these people are out there. They're all over the place.
Let me ask you a question.
You got in some controversy during your testimony. They tried to paint you as a racist and tear you apart because of what you said. Does that bear any relation to the acquittal of O.J. Simpson? Do you think anything you said
Ellen? That's apples and oranges now. Now we're talking about a guy that's going to make $3 million to come and play a fairy tale for you about
I'm
not on the hot seat, Alan.
I'm asking
this
you a simple
question. This is O.J. Simpson's day. No, I'm not answering it. I'm done answering that.
You said in the last segment that these people will go and kill someone and go have chicken at KFC. Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about a murderer, whether they're white, black, or Caucasian, or they're Mexican. It doesn't make any difference. They have no emotion. You've never seen one, Alan. That's why you wrote that chapter.
Do you think that comment could be interpreted as a racist comment? They go up chicken at KFC?
I used to eat chicken at KFC. Alan, you know something? You got a chip on your shoulder, and you want to find something wrong with everything that somebody...
You're the one who won't answer my question about whether your testimony had anything to do with the acquittal of O.J. Simpson.
Alan, you haven't asked a decent question yet.
Well, maybe I haven't gotten a decent answer.
That's right, and you won't. So keep asking.
I've got the chip on the shoulder, Mark. What's your problem?
The problem is, Alan, is you're talking about things that you don't have any knowledge of. None. You've never been on the street. You've never been out there. You weren't at the crime scene. You know nothing about O.J. Simpson. You know nothing about the evidence. You are just playing on your emotion and the way you want it to be.
I'm simply asking you a question tonight.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry that you've got a chip on your shoulder and can't give me a straight answer to a question.
That's fine. I got a chip on my shoulder. You satisfied? Now let's move on to a real question.
Why do you have a chip on your shoulder?
People like you, Alan.
Hi, this is Zesh9 from Zesh9.com, and you're listening to the Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Internet radio for smarter Aboriginals.
A moment before 2 o'clock with a caller who actually, I think, in a very important way
gave us a direct pivot into this conversation, because I think most important, alongside of the psychology of self-hatred that happens with us as a people, is that you mentioned it among global African people.
Yes. Yes, because of course we are dealing with a global power, the global European power, and a global economy which is under the influence of course, under the control of Europeans and works to the benefit of Europeans. And it's in the context of that global economic power and the attendant military and other powers that the African personality is shaped. Mm. So hardly any African group, any significant African group, escapes that shaping process.
There are those from the Caribbean, as in the caller, and I wanted to maybe have us talk about this, who feel that perhaps maybe people from the Caribbean, for example, because of what is projected here as a strong work ethic coming in from out of the country, working, setting up businesses, that it may be significantly different there.
But we see the same game being played. As we talk further in this segment, we will see that all classes of black people are servants to Europeans. And whether you're middle class, upper class, if there is one, a lower class, you're from the continent or from the Caribbean, from the American system here, the basic role is the same. Mm. But within that role are different levels and different degrees and different characters. The white system does not produce one black character. It produces a set of characters.
For example?
And it produces characters that serve different functions. And those characters will have some relationship to their geographical background, the historical experience, and to other kinds of things that go on in the world.
You said the system creates characters.
Oh, yes.
What do you mean? Give me an example of what you mean.
It will create, if it needs, for instance, a certain number of blacks to indicate to the world that it is liberal, it will create a small middle class that gives it the image of being a liberal country. For instance, I'm talking about the United States now.
Okay.
And these people then will be used to try to deceive other black people into thinking that their lack of achievement is a result of some individual deficiency in their personality.
Mm-hmm.
It often so needs a group that sees to its interests among the oppressed masses, and it often then must create a class such as the neo-colonial class, the ruling governmental classes, to see to its interests while creating the impression again that these people are free and independent. So it will even create criminals to justify repression. So it has a role for almost any segment of our community. And all of these roles, in one way or the other, justifies its existence, you see.
Do you, in the context that you are presenting this particular reality, see this as a very deliberate process that is taking place?
Oh, very much so. It has to be deliberate because it is necessary to maintain the economic social system.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it is thought out and worked through very deliberately.
This would say, in other words, then, that we might reach a point, let's say, where things get so bad that you're saying that those individuals who are in these positions that we're talking about say, well, wait a minute, this is getting a little too bad.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to open up a segment and create this to calm that down.
Yes, and this happens quite frequently. We saw it happen during the 60s, 70s. I often use that phrase that you hear all the time about things change to remain the same. So often you create apparent change to keep situations the same.
Mm-hmm.
The European learned, of course, that they did not have to maintain a direct military presence, say, on the African continent or in other areas where Africans live, in order to protect their political and economic interests. So you create then a ruling class, an indigenous ruling class there, you see, and there appears to be change, and it is a change of a sort.
Mm-hmm.
However, the basic economic dominance does not change at all. You see, I often talk about what I call the constants, you see, in our relationships with Europeans. And it's important that we look at the constants, not the superficial changes, you see.
Interesting. Yeah.
And often what happens is that first the European makes superficial the African intellect and makes superficial the African intelligence so that the African can be deceived by superficial changes while the basic and fundamental relationships are not changed at all. Down at the Institute of Technology, I was talking to my students the other day and I told them that, you know, now you are electrical engineers. But your fundamental relationship between your fundamental relationship to whites is no different from your grandparents who were in slavery, because that fundamental relationship is one of producing profits for your European masters. And so if at some point making blacks engineers, or letting them be engineers, or letting them be computer technologists, or even letting them be president of the United States will maintain that constant relationship, that change will occur. And so often people then will respond to that apparent change and miss the fact that the fundamental relationships have not changed at all.
You mentioned in the context of these constants, it is, and we mentioned this a bit earlier in the first hour, and I mentioned it to you when we were in the break, the one thing that does seem to absolutely be constant and consistent in whatever discussions we have, whether they be about politics, economics, culture, family, whatever, is this issue of learning to love ourselves versus self-hatred.
Right.
How does the system go about creating or perpetuating this pattern of self-hatred?
Self-hatred is necessary for the system. I want to lead this segment off by indicating something I say quite often, that in order for this system to maintain itself, it is a political necessity for black people to be out of their minds. And I follow yes, and I follow this up with the refrain that I am not being rhetorical, I mean that literally. We have to be out of our minds. We cannot be within our basic natural personality. When you have a minority group of people that exploits a vast majority group of people the way our people are exploited along with other people, and those people are exploited without direct being directly put under the gun, or that being directly put into concentration camps, when those people are exploited by just going about what they see as their daily way of living, those people can only be exploited by being out of their minds, by being off-center, off-base. And I try to indicate then one of the fundamental things about a black psychology and African psychology in the context of today's world is that the African psychology must begin from the fundamental assertion that it is a political necessity for black people to be out of their mind. It is a political necessity for black people to be dumb. And that does not excuse even blacks with PhDs and well-educated. And I'll explain that in greater detail later on, you see, as we go along, how dumbness becomes endemic through all class levels of the black community, and how even education itself is an education into dumbness.
It is very interesting that you are saying it. I recall that in Richard Pryor's, I guess, peak of success, when he released an album called That Nick Is Crazy. The interesting thing about it was, is when one listened to the content of the things that he was pointing out some very serious things that were part of living in this society. But he was saying something in that concept, which was that you did have to operate from the mentality of being crazy to actually function in this space that they had put you in.
You could not, the world could not be other than it is unless this were the case. You see, so self-hatred is the central keystone of the whole edifice.
Interesting.
And almost any behavior that you see our people engaged in that maintains us under the domination of the European is in some way related to self-hatred. And there are a number of methods that are used to produce this state of mind, or what we call self-negation.
Well, we'll come back and we'll pick up on that point.
is for everybody, not just for the
you're curious or confused, get information or a pamphlet at most pharmacies or a health clinic. If you need help, see a doctor.
Hello, I am Susan Aglukkaq. The North has the highest incidence of sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, in the country. We also have a high rate of teenage pregnancies. High-risk behaviors, unprotected sex, lead to the spread of HIV/AIDS. It can be prevented. Learn the ways to protect yourself and others. Knowledge is power.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Traditionally, healthcare, including reproductive health, was women's business and respected as such. Reclaim your healthcare choices by keeping yourself informed and sharing information with your relatives. Inform yourself about Plan B, known as the morning after pill. Plan B will protect you from becoming pregnant after a sexual assault or unprotected sex if taken within 72 hours. Make sure your local Indian Health Service facility carries Plan B. It does not require a prescription and should be provided upon request. It's your right. For more information, call your local healthcare facility. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Listen to Angry Indian Radio. He is not only for Indians, but he is also for blacks and other minorities. And they have done a lot on the problems in Palestine and also the problems of blacks. And so I recommend that you listen to them.